As our scripture reader comes, do we have a scripture reader? Oh, we do have. Okay. As our scripture reader comes, let me just set the scene for a bit. The first reading is from the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings. And there are some characters in the story. There is Elisha. Elisha is a prophet. He has a servant. They will have speaking parts. There are two kings. One is the king of Aram, which is in Syria. This king is at war with Israel. And the other king is the king of Israel. The king who's at war with Israel has a problem. He has a big problem. He's got a bigger problem than he knows. So listen to the story. It's a story of the greatest battle never fought. This is from 2 Kings 6.
Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, "I will set up my camp in such and such a place." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware of the passing that place, because the Aramaeans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elijah warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, "Tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?" "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers. "But Elijah, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel that very word you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servants asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, opened his eyes to the Lord so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elijah prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had asked. Elijah told them, "This is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will lead you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elijah said, "Lord, open your eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes, and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Bless the reading of the word.
And now from the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, we have been making a journey through the Beatitudes, which introduced the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 begins with these several Beatitudes. Depending on how you count, you get different numbers. Last Sunday was the first of two-part sermon. Last Sunday was on the same text that I'll read today. where we discovered that making peace starts with our speech. We are peacemakers, first of all, by what we say. You remember Jesus appears to his disciples behind closed doors, and three times in the Gospel of John, in that 12th chapter, three times Jesus, his first words on the first Easter and the second Sunday of Easter, peace, shalom, kalem. And as you remember from last week, we can't say anything better than that. It's wishing all of God's blessings. Everything that God can give is offered when we say the word shalom, peace. That was last Sunday. And now this second part of the same text, it begins with our speech, but it continues. Now when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he, Jesus, began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for forming us, creating us, fashioning us to be your living, breathing messages of peace and reconciliation and joy for the world. May what is heard and spoken and celebrated in this place now bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Well, it was a long reading, that reading from 2 Kings 6. It's a story about a prophet by the name of Elisha. It so happens that Israel and Aram, which is in Syria, were at war with each other. And the king of Aram had a problem. Every time he would send his soldiers to a certain place to lay an ambush for the army of Israel, every time the army of Israel would be alerted and would not go into the ambush. And the king of Aram was frustrated beyond words. And he called together his officers and his leaders, and he said, "Who's the spy? Who's telling the army of Israel what we're doing? Who's giving out the message? Who's betraying us?" One of the officers said, "Sir, there is no spy among us. There's a prophet. And his name is Elisha." And now the king of Aram knows he's got a problem bigger than he thought. He's got a prophet of God. He's got someone who listens to every word that God says. He's got a big problem. And so the officers say, "He knows what you're saying even in your own bedchamber." Wow, now that's really something. He knows everything you're about. He knows what we're doing every time we go out. And the king of Aram decides he's gonna do in with Elisha. He's going to solve this problem right now. But see, he doesn't really realize that he's a prophet of God. How many soldiers will it take to take care of the prophet of God, you see? But he decides he's going to amass his best striking force, his best officers, his best men. And they're going to get in chariots, and they're going to take their spears and their swords, and in a large mass, they're going to find out where this prophet is, and they're going to put an end to him. And someone finds out that, oh, Elisha, he's living in Dothan. And so at night, the army of Aram makes its way in darkness to the village of Dothan, and they surround the town, completely surrounded. And then the next morning when the sun comes up, Elisha's servant rises and walks outside, and he looks, and all around is the army of Aram, chariots and infantry, swords and shields and spears. And he runs back into the house, and he tells the prophet Elisha, "We're doomed. We're doomed. There's no hope for us." And Elisha receives those words with utter calmness, no fear. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Don't you know there are more of us than of them? Well, I'm sure that the servant of Elisha must have started doing some counting. More of us than there are of them, where there's one, two. There's two of us, and there are hundreds of them surrounding the city. And Elisha prays. Simple prayer. O Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. That this is the task of preaching. This is the task, the purpose of Scripture. This is what we do for one another. This is why we have church, so that we can live before each other and with each other in ways that we can help each other see and envision and imagine a world that is different, far different from the one that we have. That this world, with all of its corruption and lies and violence and anger and wars and suffering, starvation and disease, that this world is not all that there is. We live in faith together for one another so that we can help each other envision there is more than what we can see. There is this unfathomable grace of God. There's this sovereignty of God. There's this God who's working in the world, who's working in our lives, who's working in every institution, and who is at work to bring a new world into being. And so he prays for his servant. The prayer that we pray for one another. May our eyes be open. May we begin to see the grace and sovereignty and goodness of God at work, alive, present in power and healing and in grace for this world of ours. And then the servant of Elisha, his eyes were opened. And he looked. And he saw that surrounding them were chariots of fire. God's sovereignty and grace and goodness in the forms of these chariots of fire. And he knew that God's purposes and design and will for this world cannot and will not ever be defeated. God is making all things new, and nothing can stop that. Not all the armies of the world, not all of the evil of the world, not all of the badness of the world can stop what God has begun and what God is doing and will do for this world. And so the army starts down to the house where Elisha and his servants are staying. And Elisha prays again. Notice that he doesn't pray that God will strike the army dead. That's maybe what we thought, well, that's what you ought to pray, that God would just send down from heaven some lightning bolt or some kind of earthquake or some way that the army could be just defeated. What he prayed was that they would be struck blind. And so all of a sudden, the advancing army is unable to see. And Elisha goes forth faithfully and confidently and speaks to them. And he says, well, it's not really true, but you don't always tell the truth, right? I mean, sometimes you twist it just a little bit. He says, you got the wrong house. This is the wrong address, and you're on the wrong road. Just hold on to each other and follow me, and I'll take you where you need to be. And so they probably put their hands on each other's shoulders, and they followed Elisha and the servant, and he took them right into the middle of the capital city of the king of Israel. And then he prayed that they would be able to see again, and when they opened their eyes, they were the captured ones. They were captured and encased in the capital city. They were hopelessly lost. And the king of Israel comes out with a bad idea. He says to Elisha, shall I kill them? He asked the question twice. Shall I just kill them? And Elisha the prophet said, kill them. You wouldn't even kill prisoners of war you take on the battlefield. Kill them. And then he used his imagination, which we need God to give us. This is what we need. This is what the world needs. Some imagination to be able to do a strange and new thing. Elisha says to the king, feed them. And the king of Israel not only responded positively to that, it says in the text, he didn't give them just water and bread, as Elisha had suggested. He prepared a feast. He brought forth the best that he could offer. They cooked up a storm. The best cooks got together in the kitchens. And they cooked up the biggest, best feast with wine and food and bread and venison and pork and all everything that they could find. And they had a feast. I would have liked to have been, that's a picnic I wanted to go to. Can you imagine the king's army of Israel and Aram's army of Samaria, of Aram? Can you imagine them singing together? Can you imagine them eating together? Can you imagine them telling stories about their wives to each other? Can you imagine the laughter and the joy and the fellowship and all of that goodness that comes from being together with food and happiness and safety? Oh, I would have liked to have been invited to that dinner. And then the text ends by saying this: never again did the army of Aram ever invade Israel. That's what happens when God's invitation to peacemaking is put into action by the imagination of God's people. I tell you, we don't have to be afraid. That's what the servant was. See this fear of people? Because they don't look like us, or talk like us, or eat like us, or maybe even worship like us. When God gets a hold of us to be peacemakers, and we use our imagination, something new happens in the world. It's a foretaste of what John saw in the book of Revelation. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. In the Bible, when it talks about the future, it always talks about the future as if it's invading and penetrating and coming into the present. And so, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall have a feast. And they will be called names like children of God. And that's what you are. Amen.